Welcome to Heartland Darkland. I'm Shannon.
And I'm Cassie. Hey, Dark Hearts.
Hey. I hesitated, so. How's it going, guys? We're glad you're back. You know, this is episode 29, Cassie. I don't know.
Shit.
When I was like researching it and I was putting like my final notes in and I had to look to see what episode it was. Not that it matters, but I was like, oh my gosh, this is 29. That's insane. It's so many.
My sister freaked me out over the weekend because I went to go pick her up from work. She had this thing going on and she was leaving her car. That's not important. But she's like, why did you do two episodes in a row? I was like, what are you talking about? Because at first she goes, why'd you do two in a row? I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? She's like, episodes. You did 2 weeks in a row. I was like, no, I didn't. And then I was like panicking. I was like, did I mess something up with like posting? I was like, no, Shannon always checks it for sure. She would have said something. And then she's going through. She's like, oh, I see what happened. It played weird in her thing. Like it went on. She must be behind.
I was just second guessing everything. I was like, well, it wouldn't surprise me. Last night, don't do that to me. Yeah. I was laying in bed last night and I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot. I need to get my pictures posted for my case. And then I got up this morning and I was like panicking, getting it ready. And then I was like, wait, well, today's Tuesday. I was like, what is happening? I am way thrown off. So,
you know, it's fine. It's just fine. Listen, if you guys haven't figured it out, we're like the last minute queens. We record the day before we are posting.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes we don't, but three out of four times we do. So
listen, it's like, there was one month where that wasn't happening.
I mean, yeah, I don't know how that happened. It makes me laugh because our friends over the Grim Mystics podcast, when they talked about how polished and organized we are, I just laughed because I thought you have no idea how that is so untrue. I think theirs are better than ours, more polished. So
yeah, especially because I saw them post like a week or two ago about how they had just recorded. I was like, sweet, this Thursday, because I'm thinking everyone does like us. Right. They don't give themselves, who gives themselves time to edit? That's
why would
silly.
You do that? Yeah. Maybe in the beginning when we were really like, oh my gosh, it has to be like perfect, but we just don't care now.
Yeah. I remember the first couple episodes I was editing out all the ums.
Oh yeah.
Clearly I've stopped doing that.
There's a bunch of ums there for you. Yep.
Yeah. It's just also, you guys, the reason why I sound so manly this episode is allergies. I love fall. Fall doesn't love me.
It probably sounds, maybe over there it sounds different because it sounds very nice to me, Cassie. Your voice is nice and clear. Yes.
Okay, perfect. I mean, it's not as bad as it has been, but I know it's a little deeper. So people are like, what's going on?
It's a perfect radio voice. So there you go.
I mean,
I have a deep voice kind of naturally anyway, so I don't judge.
Same. You know, so, also real quick, I had a panic attack earlier. It was probably 9:30, 10 o'clock, and I get a phone call from my daughter's school, and it's this automated thing saying she's been marked absent. And I was like, I'm sorry, her bus picked her up at 8:25. Is my daughter not at school?
No.
I contact her teacher. She's like, oh, the bus was late. I'll make sure that's fixed. I was like, okay, so she is there.
Can you please go physically check for my child? Like, thank you. Put her on the phone.
Did she somehow get left on the bus? Like, that how is that even possible? She doesn't even ride a big bus. She rides the short bus. You know? Like,
the short bus.
But my daughter that, you know.
Bless that girl's heart. She's so sweet.
And I'm just like, how is this even possible? So I had this brief moment where I was like, dear God, we're not even going to get the podcast recorded today because I'm going to be driving all around Omaha trying to find my daughter.
That is so scary. That's like a mother's worst fear. I know my daughter on her iPad has a thing that like I can check her location, you know, and I remember this was like a couple years ago. She had it at daycare and it popped up and said, you know, so-and-so, I'm not her name, not that it matters, but she has left the building because it tells you when they check in places. Yep. And I literally like freaked out. I called the daycare so fast. I'm like, where is she? You know? And they're like, oh, they went on a walk and she must've had it just in like her little backpack and was wearing it. And they just walked around the block. But it was like the same moment of panic. Like what? Well, sometimes technology is not so good.
Well, and especially because it was just last year that the little boy in Omaha, the bus driver left him in the wrong neighborhood and like refused. And I was like, what the hell? Did they take her to the wrong school? What's going on? I was like, that's not even possible.
And she's like so little that she wouldn't be able to figure out what's going on. And she'd just be like, I'm trying to go to school.
She has a phone. Yeah, it's not like she has a phone or anything for me to like track her down. I'm like, no, I've talked to this bus driver. Like, I know where they're going. I was like, my daughter's going to be on our podcast. Like,
oh my gosh.
Like, that's sorry, so guys, scary. My daughter went missing. We didn't have a podcast this week.
Oh, well, I'm glad that she's made it on the short bus and is in her seat and learning all the things.
We're good. So Woo! That was my brief true crime today. So speaking
I'm glad it wasn't a crime.
I know.
Well, the bus system is a crime here.
Oh my gosh.
Don't that's the real crime.
On the OPS bus system right now.
I mean, we can talk about my case now if you want. Like, it's distract you there.
Let's do that.
So we're going to Oklahoma this week. So Prague, is that how you would say it? Prague? Yeah. Prague, Prague?
Yeah, Prague.
After I just said it, I'm like, I even listened to it. Now I can't think of how they said it.
I'm like 90% sure it's Prague.
Okay.
Prague. Yeah.
Well, it said that it was founded by like the Czech people that lived there. So I don't know if that makes a difference on how to say it or not, but
you know what, you say it how you want to say it. And it's
Prague. I'm going to say Prague. Cause that's what Midwestern. I was my first. Yeah, yeah. It's fine. And if I'm wrong, I just, guys, it's fine. Okay. So this case is kind of, it's a very sad case, but it's also like a very hopeful case. We're going to be talking about actually a couple, one survives and one does not. So just kind of spoiler alert there where we're going. I actually did watch a documentary on this. It's, it was Dead Silent, which is actually, you can find that on Discovery Plus now, but it's an ID show. And it was, the title of the episode is Run for Your Life, and it's season 2, episode 2. And there is also a I Survived episode. And you can see that, I think that's on Amazon Prime, I believe is where that you can watch that. I actually did not watch that one just because I knew it would have a lot of the same information from the first one that I watched. And you know, on those, they have like 3 different stories, so you don't get as much time spent on it. But if you want to check that out, I mean, you can always just find this on there. I don't know which episode, but if you look the name up, you'll find it easily, I'm sure. So this is the story of Ethan Walton and Amanda Burney. So Ethan was 19 at the time of his death, but he was described as enthusiastic about life. He dreamed big. He was the oldest of all his siblings. He was a goofball, just a very like practical joker. Also, they said he was 6'2". I thought that is really freaking tall. So I just wanted to mention that. I'll talk about Amanda a little bit more later. But Ethan and Amanda, they started dating in high school and they were still together. So, I mean, I think they said it was like senior year. So he's 19 and she's 20 at the time that this all happened. So it's been a couple years. They pretty much like knew they were going to get married. They had been planning their future together and they were just young kids in love with big dreams. So like I mentioned before, they lived in Prague. Is that how I said it the first time? See now?
Now you're okay, second guessing every time you say it.
Yes, ma'am. So they lived in Prague. So that's about an hour east of Oklahoma City for those of you who like to know all the things. The population is about 2,300 and it's just a very big like ag town, lots of agriculture and that kind of thing. So this, let's see, September 8th is when this kind of all goes down of 2010. So this day started out good. Ethan and Amanda were going to run some errands that day. So one of these errands included meeting with a man that was actually going to be buying land from Ethan. So I don't know if this land was like Ethan's family's land, how it was his. I don't know. But they did say he worked a ton. Like, I know they said he worked for everything really hard. So not sure.
If well, I mean, it could be like a family inheritance, like a grandparent left him to or something. I mean, honestly, it's not really that weird for a 19-year-old who lives in a Midwest country town to maybe own some land, you know?
It's, I mean, yeah, that we're in the Heartland area. So I feel like a lot of these stories are that same kind of like general areas and styles of, you know, all the things, just the good farm stuff.
Yes.
So he had this land and he was selling it and him and Amanda were super excited because like they were going to use that money to, you know, maybe get a house, start a life, and just super like determined. So the guy that they were going to buy this land from, his name was Glendon Goker. See, now, once again, I just watched this documentary and I can't remember. I'm pretty sure it's Goker.
I'm assuming he's the bad guy, so who cares how you say his last name.
Yeah, exactly. So he goes by Glenn, so I'll just refer to him as Glenn from here on out. So Glenn was actually a passing acquaintance of Ethan's dad. So he had bought some farming equipment from him previously. So they knew him, but not really.
Yeah.
So the land that Ethan owned was the land that was right next door to Glenn's house. So, you know, they could just buy that and it would be a bigger area. I guess everyone around there pretty much owned like 1 to 2 acres. So there was a lot of space between houses. So that land right next to Glenn's house, other than that, then it was just like dead end, open space, no one else in sight. So just so you can kind of get a visual of where they're at there. So they had made arrangements to meet that day and sign the papers. And Ethan was going to go to Glenn's house and they were going to do all the things. And he wanted Amanda to go with him. So they actually borrowed Amanda's sister's car. Her sister's name is Alicia. Alicia said, yeah, you can take my car. Just have it back by noon. Because this was like, I think they were supposed to meet, it said, at 9 a.m. So, of course, that's not going to be a problem to get back by then. So, in this documentary too that I watched, they do interview Amanda a lot. So she talks about that day that they went out there. She said that she just felt like that day just was really heavy. There was something hanging over her because she said the previous night that she had actually had a dream that the world was ending and she woke up crying like hysterically. She said that she never had had a dream like that and never had that response to like wake up that, you know, shaken up. And yeah. She said that the dream just kind of like lingered with her. You know, when you wake up at like a certain part of a dream and then you can't forget it.
That's, yes.
So she said that was just like the whole day vibe, which is kind of eerie. So they approach Glenn's house and it looks just pretty like deserted. It's a very like vast rural area. There's kind of just junk all over. And other than that house, and like I said, the land next door, there is no one else in sight. So it was just kind of a trashy farm type of house. And so when they had left to go there, they had texted Glenn on the way and said, hey, we're on our way. And so he said, okay. So he knew they were on their way, right? So they get there and nobody answers the door. So he's like, not there. And that was super annoying. So, you know, they walk around the house, they look, he's not there. So they decide like, okay, maybe he's still coming. We'll just wait in the car. So they get back in the car. They wait for a little bit longer. I don't know how much time ends up passing, but they said it was a while later that he finally showed up. He didn't really apologize for not being there. Didn't say where he had been. He was just like, okay, let's go, you know? And so Amanda said she recalled Glenn being just a bit rough, but he seemed friendly enough. So Amanda decided to stay in the car and Ethan went with Glenn to go sign the papers. Ethan said that he was confident that this would be a very quick, easy deal. So he goes inside. On the documentary, you know, they do the cheesy reenactments. Right. So a lot of that, it's like, I don't know that that's exactly how it happened, but, you know, they show her fall asleep in the car while she's waiting. I'm sure they were just trying to show that a lot of time had passed. Not sure that that actually happened, but
yeah.
So, like lots of time passes while she's out there and she's kind of like, what the heck is taking so long? So around that time is when Glenn's wife comes out to the car. So Glenn has a wife named Michelle. And the fun fact here is that Michelle is also Glenn's half-sister.
Ew.
Yikes. Cringe. So cringe. Yeah, cringy.
Ew.
Uh-huh. So that also kind of shows you what we're working with, like, in Brad's little, you know.
Yeah. Wait, so was she there when they first got there then, and she just didn't answer the door?
I don't know. It never really talks about that. So, well, the documentary shows her, like, come out and say that no one was there and goes back in. But I read that nowhere else. So I just assumed that maybe that was part of the, like, dramatics of the documentary. Okay. Because it literally was not mentioned at all anywhere else. So I don't know. And I mean, she's clearly not all with it either, as you'll find on like later on, but very just creepy vibes. And the fact that they're related is also very disturbing and says a lot about their state of minds.
Please tell me they didn't have kids.
No, not that they ever talked about, thank God. But okay. Yeah, that never was mentioned. I'm just going to go with no and hope that that's okay. Gross, right? Good. And that really has nothing to do with the story other than that's just you.
How they even get married if they're...
I don't know. Like, I have no idea. And like, I don't know, in Oklahoma, like, I don't know. But
I mean, there's some weird ass laws that are still a thing in some states. Very true. But
I mean, and this wasn't like really that long ago. You know what I mean? So it's like, okay.
I feel like that's still considered incest, no?
Yeah, especially that recently. Like, I don't know, way back in the day, I feel like. I mean, it's wrong. I don't care what time of the world it was, but.
No, okay.
So, yeah. So Michelle, she comes out. She tells Amanda that they need a witness to them signing the papers. And Amanda said she, like, knew that was a thing, you know? And she was like, oh, okay. She said.
Okay, but Michelle's there.
Right. But I don't know if she was signing too. And I don't know what I know. I was doing this all in my head too. I was like, why couldn't Michelle be the witness, or did she need a sign too? And so,
okay. Yeah.
I don't know. That was just my thought. But then
if they
had
a witness, they should have had a notary. I'm kind of surprised that they were able to do all of this paperwork without a notary.
I also was thinking that. And then I'm like, well, Ethan was 19. Not that he wasn't smart, but like very young. And maybe they just didn't. Yeah. realize they thought it was like that, and she's only 20, Amanda, you know. Yeah. And so it doesn't talk a lot about, I mean, his mom, Ethan's mom, is on the documentary a lot and talks about him, but other than that, it doesn't really talk about like his family dynamics. So I don't know if he had any communication with his family as far as like, hey, how do I do this, or I don't know. Okay. But Amanda was like, I don't think she really knew either, clearly, because she was like, oh, yeah, okay, that's a thing. So she said she was like, okay, let's go do this. So she gets up, goes with her, with Michelle. She leaves her purse and phone in the car, of course. She said that when she went with Michelle, she wasn't like, she didn't suspect anything weird because she just thought that that's a thing. So she follows her back to this shed where they were apparently doing the paperwork. I don't know why out there, but as soon as she walks into the shed, she's like, where's Ethan? She looks over, she sees Ethan laying on the ground. She said she had walked into her worst nightmare. Ethan was bleeding and unconscious. So before she even had time to react or process this, Glenn grabs her and puts his hand over her mouth. She said she felt cold metal against her head and realized he had a gun at her head, and he told her that he was never actually going to pay for the land, and was like laughing. So, correct. So he sits her on this like deep freeze in that shed by a window, like an air conditioning that's in the window, you know? And Amanda in the documentary talks about how cold it was, and she saw that it was set at 65 degrees. She said, I know that's not important, but she said, that's something I will never forget because I just remember seeing that. So that just is interesting, the things you remember in those moments. Yeah. He removes her clothes and he sexually assaults her 3 times in the shed. Then he duct tapes her mouth and he handcuffs her to a pole in the shed. So she's in there naked and he leaves. So the worst thing about this too was that she was like right next to where Ethan was and she could hear him groaning and gurgling. And she could even hear him crying in the midst of all of that. So she was absolutely terrified. She said she knew at this moment that she did not want to die, but if she did die, she was going to die trying and fighting to get free. So she also said that she wasn't going to let herself be afraid or that the fear would just take over her.
So sometimes you have to compartmentalize, you know, and you're like, I can't be afraid now. I have to focus on this. I'll let that come over me.
And
later.
Having your boyfriend next to you, not knowing if he, well, I mean, he's alive still clearly at this point. And
had he been shot then, or
you find out later he was beat. I mean, we'll talk about it more later, but just terrible. So once she knows this, I mean, she takes her first chance at escaping. So he comes back a few hours later, Glenn, and he uncuffs her to move her. And as soon as he does that, she jumps up and like kicks him and tries to run off, but he quickly catches up with her. And now he's just even more pissed off. So he takes her inside, throws her in this room. He restrains her, you know, on this bed, her legs are on each, post. Yeah. Her arms are on a post. Like, she's in there where she cannot move. So the first thing she does is observe the room to see what she can do. So there's a window by her, and then there's a gun rack on the wall with tons of guns and knives. So that's super comforting, I'm sure. So where was Gwen's wife, Michelle, during all of this, you ask?
Yes.
Well, Michelle was sure there. She actually came into the room shortly after Glenn put Amanda in there. She sees Amanda, and Amanda begs her for help. And she just looks at her and leaves. Like, isn't that bizarre, too? Like, yeah. And this is your husband? Like, I don't know. That's weird.
I'm assuming that he was probably abusive towards his wife as well. And there's, like, this, like... Yeah. There's all sorts of psychological things with abuse involved and allowing them to do things and get away with things you wouldn't normally. But
yeah. And like the documentary shows her coming in and like Michelle saying like, just don't do anything I wouldn't do, which I don't know if that actually happened or not. That was in the, you know, reenactment. But if that's, I mean, some of that I would assume is real. I mean, if you have a witness to testify to what happened, but she does nothing to help her, at least at this point. So Amanda's like knew that she had to do something because Michelle wasn't going to do anything. So it was weird too, because Michelle would come in and check on Amanda every 10 to 15 minutes, maybe even less time than that. She would just come in and look at her and leave. So this made it really hard for Amanda to really do anything. In those 10 minutes that she would have alone, she would mess with the ropes and she was like pulling on the ropes with her arms. And she realized that the more she pulled on one of the ropes, the like looser that it got. So she continued loosening it. And then when she would hear Michelle coming back, she would just lay back down and move the rope back. So it looked the exact same every time she came in. So she kept doing this and couldn't get a ton of progress because Michelle kept coming in and checking. So when she finally
Michelle kept coming in because of that.
I know.
Like to make sure she couldn't.
Yeah. I don't know if she was just like, yeah, checking like, okay, you're still in here. You're not doing anything. If that was the case, then just stay there.
Right. But it's like, too, it's like if you have all those, which one, I don't know why you would keep a captive in a room with weapons, but
yeah,
my dog is chewing on a bone. So,
oh, you're good. I can't even hear it.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. Weird though.
So yeah. So that's interesting.
Yeah. Huh. So at least Amanda was smart enough, I mean, to know to like lay back down in the same position when she would come in, but it made it difficult, yeah, to make any progress. So she finally got one hand free. And when she got the one hand free, she managed to untie all the rest of the restraints. So now we're going to have a little cliffhanger and jump to something else and then we'll come back. So stay on your feet there. Hold on.
I can't believe you're going to leave us just right there. She got herself free and you're like, okay.
Yeah. Right. I even put cliffhanger.
Hey, Dark Hearts, just wanted to take a moment to tell you about She's Birdie. What this is a small device that can give you a little bit of peace of mind, whether you're out walking, working late, or whatever it might be. The Birdie is a small device that can easily be on your keychain, your belt loop, your purse, or held in your hand. The original Birdie is just a loud alarm with a flashing light to help draw attention to you if you're feeling uncomfortable or you're in a situation where you need help or attention. Now they offer the Birdie Plus. Same device, except it doesn't have the flashing light. Instead, it comes with an app that gives you 24/7 access to live representatives who can talk with you while you're walking to your car or wherever you might be, you feel uncomfortable, or they can even send first responders to your location, as well as sharing your GPS location with two emergency contacts and giving you an excuse call if you're in a situation where you feel uncomfortable and aren't sure how to get away. Now, what's nice about the Birdies is that it's something that you can use discreetly to call the live representatives. You just press the buttons twice. If you want an excuse call, you just tap it once and you'll get an automated call that'll help give you an excuse to get away from whatever situation you're in. Now, if you hold the button, this is what sends your location to your two emergency contacts. The original Birdie is $29.95, and the Birdie Plus is $39.95, and then you do need a subscription with that, which is $8.99 a month, or you can do the annual subscription of $89.99, saving you 20%. But if you use our code DARKHEARTS15, you'll get 15% off your Birdie as well. This is something that we love, we have for ourselves as well, just with the type of stuff that we're into, the true crime. We're clearly more aware of our surroundings. We are a little more cautious at times, and this can just give us a peace of mind. It's also great if you have teenagers who are out now, working later, school activities, to give you peace of mind about their safety as well. So again, their site is SHESBIRDIE.com, and if you use our code DARKHEARTS15, you'll get 15% off your order today. So stay Heartland kind, but Darkland wary, and have that Birdie with you to make sure you stay safe.
In my notes. So meanwhile, the day had passed and this was night by now. So Amanda's sister, Alicia, was freaking out because, you know, they were supposed to be back by noon with her car. And she knew that Amanda wouldn't just like not come back because they were super close. So no one else in the family had heard from her. So Alicia decided to drive out to the area that Glenn lived because she had known that that's where they were headed because they told her, like, we're going to this guy's house. She said, okay. So she goes to the house and Glenn actually comes out and talks to her. So she's like, you know, was there a young couple here? He's like, oh yeah, they were here. We signed the papers. That was a long time ago. And then they left. And Alicia asked if like they had said anything about where they were going. And he said, they said that they were actually going to go to the city and go to a BMW car dealership. And she was like, in Oklahoma City? And he's like, yeah. She said, okay. So yeah, safe to say they did not go to Oklahoma City to a BMW car dealership because Alicia was like, yeah, she would have told me about that. That's weird. And they wouldn't like just go and not call and no. So she knew something was up, but she didn't want to pry too much because this guy's a big dude and he's just scary, you know?
Right.
And she's like, okay, thanks. And leaves. So she leaves. She knew something was wrong. And Glenn immediately told Michelle, I'll be right back. You had to be careful. The cops are going to be here soon. Like, he knew that she was going to call the cops.
Like, it's a small town.
Right.
People would, at least their family would have known that they were going to see you.
Yeah.
That was dumb of you. And was this whole thing, was it mainly that he just wanted, and maybe you'll get to this, was it just that he wanted the land for free?
Or? I don't even know what it was exactly because it never really actually goes back to that at all. I think from what I read and researched, it sounded like he didn't actually care about the land. It was more about just wanting to commit violent acts and just act out on his impulses, which is disgusting.
Well, he clearly did not think this shit through at all.
Clearly. He married his sister, so like, but we'll talk about that too, because a little more clearly there's like kind of a history of violence just in his life.
That doesn't surprise me. I kind of wondered if he like sexually assaulted his half-sister. I'm assuming she's younger or something.
I mean, and, like, probably. They don't talk about it, and I don't.
And yeah.
Yeah. Because it's just, it's a very weird situation. So, and also while Alicia was there, Amanda could hear her out there. So she was hopeful and she knew that they were like looking for her. So she just said that that was comforting to her. After that, he leaves, which at this point, I am assuming that that is when he is going to hide Ethan or whatever. That's kind of what I figure, but, so we'll jump back to where we were at our little cliffhanger. So Amanda frees herself. She said that was the most terrifying moment ever because she knew she had to act then or she would die. So she grabs one of the guns off, you know, the rack, and she checks it and there's no bullets. And so she checks other guns, and in fact, none of the guns had bullets. So
not
helpful.
Of surprised. That kind of guy seems like someone who would store his guns,
keep
loaded.
Them loaded. Like, oh, absolutely.
Like safety reasons, you shouldn't have right. them out like that. But like,
he's
he
stupid.
Like the type who would.
Yeah, I know. I agree. That's exactly what I thought. I'm like, really? Oh, okay. The one safety thing you're actually going to, you know, act on. So there were knives though. So she grabs a knife just kind of out of desperation, and she waits because she hears Michelle coming back. So she kind of leans against the wall, and as Michelle opens the door to check on Amanda, Amanda just like pushes the door open and just like gets that knife. And she's like, just trying to cut her, stab her anywhere she can. She can't even see what she's getting at. So she mostly like cuts up Michelle's hands like a lot, which is, I mean, good for her. But so this all goes down. But during this, somehow Michelle still is able to get the door shut with Amanda still inside the bedroom and locks it. And so Michelle is yelling to Glenn that, you know, Amanda's free and lost, whatever. So then she's trying to get him. And the whole time Amanda's like, well, what the hell am I going to do? The only way out was either through that door, which is now locked, or through the window. So there's this big window, and she's smart, like very smart, because she wraps her arm in like a blanket. It looked like a blanket or like a, you know, curtain. And she breaks the window with her hand, and she jumps out the window and lands on all this glass, but somehow did not manage to cut her feet up or anything, which was pretty amazing.
Which, is she still naked at this point,
yes.
too? Like, did he
yes.
just leave her naked?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
which
I
clearly
know.
That's the least of your concerns
I know.
At that point.
I was thinking that, too, but I'm like, imagine just, like, running for your life, butt-ass naked. Like,
in
that's
September
just,
in Oklahoma,
yeah.
like...
And scary,
I mean,
and just, like...
We're
ugh,
now
I don't
at
know.
Like 12 years since this happened. And so it's like now our evenings right now, it's 90 something today, but it was like
I know
30 last night.
Yeah.
And so in the evenings, it can still be fairly
cold,
but I suppose
yeah.
you're like running on adrenaline and stuff
right.
like that too.
And you probably don't even think about the fact that you're naked at that point. Like to me, I thought the same thing. I was like, oh God, that's so awkward. But then I thought, I wouldn't care if everyone in the town saw me naked running if it meant that I was going to live, you know? So,
right. But that's amazing
and,
that, yeah, you break out that glass, it's going to be down below you.
Yeah.
So for her to have not cut anything, that's amazing.
And she's tiny. She only weighed 90 pounds, it said. Yeah, like
oh
tiny
God.
Little thing. So imagine that. I mean, she had a lot of strength too to just even get that window to break.
Well,
like,
again, adrenaline.
Yeah.
They
it'll
say, I mean, like
you.
Scientists have said, like, we don't use, like, I remember when we were in massage school, we watched some of those shows, but like, kind of I survived. And like, this guy had like a rock slab fall on him. And they said, like, we don't actually use our full muscle force, but
uh-huh.
this man did to get this off of him. I mean, it tore away his muscles
oh,
from his bones
yeah.
and stuff like that.
Ooh,
but
gosh.
Like, but that's why we don't use our full force. So it's just like, we don't use our full brain and all these things. Like,
yeah.
we have hidden strengths. That's where moms can like lift cars off their children's and things
yeah.
like that. Because these internal instincts like kick in. And so that
yeah.
animal side of our brain allows us to access strength that we normally can't,
yeah.
but that we have. So
which
I just
is
think
so
that's
cool.
amazing. Yeah.
We're all like superheroes deep down. You
we
know?
Really
like,
are.
Really?
If we could,
well,
yeah.
And
if
Amanda talks about that
to
too. Sorry.
Yeah. If we could figure out how to, sorry. It's like,
no.
If we
so
could figure
things.
Out how to access that part of ourselves,
yeah.
like it's
totally.
Amazing.
I know. And she talks about that later on. I mean, I can talk about that more, but she does just say like, for people who think if that you were in that situation, you would never survive. She's like, no, you all have this inner strength. You don't even know. So that's just ironic. I feel like I should talk
yeah.
about that now since that's what we're at. But,
yeah.
So yeah, so she, let me find here in my notes where we're at. Okay. So she jumps out. Okay. That's where we're at. So she just starts running, and she was torn because she wanted to go get Ethan because she doesn't know if he's dead or alive at this point.
Right.
But she said she think in her heart, she knew that he was gone. She also knew that in order to save him, she had to save herself first anyway. So she runs. They immediately get in their car and they're driving, chasing her. And so she, you know, gets off the main roads because she knows that's easier for them to see her. And plus she's out in the middle of like nowhere. So they easily could have run her down. So she's running and eventually she comes to this house, which she had to run pretty freaking far then when they talk about how far apart these houses are. And once again, the adrenaline, I'm sure, just like surged.
Yeah.
So she runs to this door, pounding on the door, naked all the while. And this lady opens the door and lets her in. And I mean, that's, imagine that, you know, and she's hysterical, bawling. She's saying, you know, my boyfriend's dead. This guy raped me. And she's saying all these things. And this lady just remains calm, you know? And the thing too, she said, you know, and the lady kept saying, who? And she said, Glenn. And so then the lady like knows because it's a small town and she knows that he's close.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, this lady, she's just a freaking rock star. Her name is Caroline Adams, the neighbor lady. So she immediately calls 911. You can actually hear the 911 call on that documentary. And she's the one that talks to the cops. But in the background, you hear Amanda, you know, yelling their names and all the things. And so she said, you know, there's a girl at my house. She needs help. And being out kind of in the middle of nowhere takes them a minute to get out there. It's not like you're in town. So while she's on the phone with 911, she hears like gunshots outside. And I did forget to mention, I guess, too, when they were chasing Amanda, when they first took off in their car, they were shooting at her. She never got hit, but they were, you know, of course, doing all that. So, so she hears all these gunshots. So this lady, Caroline, she puts Amanda in a closet and has her stay on the phone with 911 and is like, just be quiet, stay in here. So Caroline, being a badass, goes outside, like, to check this out. She goes out there to kind of like, you know, distract him. And she's like, what? It's all the ruckus going on out here. And because Glenn and Amanda, or Amanda, see, I keep mixing up their names. Glenn and Michelle.
And Michelle.
Were just out there shooting around. And they're like, we're looking for our friend Amanda. And Caroline's like,
and you're shooting at her?
Right. Why That's what she said. Shooting? She goes, if you're looking for your friend, wouldn't she come to you too? Like, if she heard you? And she said, there's nobody here. I don't know what you're talking about, but she said her husband was going to be home soon. And she's like, and he's not going to be happy that you're on our property. Go. So they kind of like hesitate and they wait a little bit and then they finally leave. So I was thinking about this too. Think about like what kind of like courage that takes. This woman protected this total stranger and put her life on the line for this girl. Like she protected her and went out there. Like who knows? They could have shot at her. Clearly they're insane.
They could have. I will say, like, that's totally brave and stuff, but why didn't she just stay in the house?
I know. Too? Like, I don't know if she thought that, like, because they were shooting, they were going to try to, like, invade in the house or what. I don't know. But, yeah, and I think because she maybe knew them, she thought she could kind of, like,
calm them down. I guess, too, like, it's a small town. People are going to go outside and be like, what the fuck is going on?
And she was, like, older. I don't know. I don't know exactly, but when I see the pictures of her and stuff, she was older. But yeah, I was like, very cool, but I don't know that I could have done that either. You know, like, so
maybe just stay inside and on the phone with 911.
Right. Yeah. And like, then they, you can even hear on the 911 call when she goes outside, cause you can hear Amanda whispering saying, I can't talk. I can't talk. They're here, you know, and it's like, ooh, just goosebumps. Cause how freaking scary. So, yeah. So they finally leave and then they go back to their house. And police are able to actually take them into custody there. And immediately Glenn tells them that Ethan is in a barrel. So police go around the back. They look in a shed and they find Ethan in a 55-gallon drum upside down, still handcuffed with his ankles taped together. Amanda's clothes were found under him. Cops said that it was the most gruesome scene and that he was basically discarded like a piece of trash. Oh. And it was later confirmed with an autopsy that he had died from blunt force trauma to the head with a blunt object. So
that poor boy, he was so excited about life. He was a hard worker and trying to, you know, here he is.
And he was a good looking kid. Like just, I mean, it would have just been cool to see what he would have done with his life, you know? And I think you want to be like, oh, hopefully it was quick and he didn't suffer, but like,
well, he clearly wasn't.
He did, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's what's just awful. So now that they have Glenn in custody, they look him up and all that, and they see that he actually had been convicted of a sex offense in 1996. So already a history of violence. I don't have tons of details about the trials. Well, Michelle specifically, but she was convicted in 2012 for kidnapping and possession of a firearm with intent to harm. She was sentenced to 20 years, but got paroled after 5 years.
Ew.
Yeah. So they said she's kind of living off the grid, but they think that she still is living in Oklahoma. Isn't that crazy? 5 years.
I'm so torn on her because I wonder about her past and if he had groomed her and sexually abused her. And it was kind of like one of those like kind of Stockholm-y like.
I know.
Situations.
It's, yeah. Like you want to think that that's.
And maybe she got help and like, I don't know. That's so difficult though. But like, it's like, oh, that seems so short to have helped your husband.
I know.
Kidnap and sexually assault a young girl.
I know.
And murder someone.
I know. Like, especially that. Like, you're kind of an accessory to murder, aren't you?
You are an accessory to murder.
You're there, you too, and you're concealing a body. And
at least accessory after the fact, if not an accessory to murder. Like,
I agree.
It seems like she got off really light.
I feel like 20 years, even, she got off with just 20 years. But then the fact that she got out in 5, it's like, wait, what? So, yeah. So, Glenn. So, that's about all I really know about Michelle and how hers turned out. So Glenn, he ended up pleading guilty to first degree murder, along with several other charges, such as first degree rape, forcible sodomy, kidnapping. Oh. I know. I don't even like mentioning that, but I guess it just shows you what kind of monster he is, you know? And kidnapping and having the firearm. So he was arrested, or after he was arrested, they collected his DNA and it actually matched to several other cases. So one of them was a double homicide and another sexual assault in another state. So the prosecution from the other state actually asked Ethan's mom if she would be willing for them to give up the death penalty so that they could get him to plead guilty to these other cases in order to get longer. I mean, he's obviously not going to get out anytime soon.
Well, and to close those cases for those other families.
And Ethan's mom, she just cries talking about it on the documentary. It's super hard to watch. But she said, you know, that was such a hard decision. But she said that if it helped other people find out what happened, like, to their kids and solve, you know, give them closure, that it was worth it. She said it was a sacrifice to make to help solve other crimes. And she said that Ethan would like knowing that his death ultimately helped others get closure. She said it's really sucks, but because of him, you know, other people were able to find out these things. So
yeah,
which is sad, but like, that is cool that they were able to, like, DNA is crazy. So
yeah.
So with this, Glenn was sentenced to 6 life sentences, along with an additional 70 years. He later was further convicted on another rape case from 1990. So Glenn won't ever see the light of day again, thank God.
Good.
He is incarcerated at Dick Connor, that's fitting, Dick, Connor Correctional Center in Hominy, Oklahoma. Okay. So that's where he is. After all that, Amanda struggled a lot with depression and PTSD, which, of course, and she's, you know, just had to deal with that for her whole life. She did talk about in this documentary wanting to help other victims in time that go through things like that. I'm not sure exactly what she's doing now, but I do see that she has like a Facebook account that's a public page. She posts stuff on there. So that's, a cool way to start. I know she's posted some links to like resources for things. And she's even posted pictures of like her and Ethan and that kind of thing. So I think that that's good. But who knows what else she can do with it? That's just like, it's still pretty fresh, really. I know it's been 12 years, but
that's not especially really in terms of needing to heal and stuff. Oh, like, right. Shit.
Seriously. Yeah. So the police still call her their little hero. They said they were just amazed at everything she had really gone through to survive. And like I had said before, Amanda talked about her inner strength, and she said she never thought that she was like brave or strong, but she said she is, and everybody is. When you're put in that situation, you all have that kind of strength and bravery, and you just don't know it. But you're braver than you think. And she said, you know, she hates that even had to happen, but she was proud of herself for surviving. And it looks like, I mean, she's, based on anything I found, it sounds like she's doing, I mean, as well as you can be, and that she's moved on, you know, with her life, and she's married, I think, and whatnot. So that's the case of that. But it's,
wow,
I had never heard of that. And honestly, it was really hard to find information on it. And I was surprised with it being as recent as it was.
Yeah.
But
see, and at first, and I can't remember where this took place, but I thought it was that one where the woman and her boyfriend, she was kept in that like cylinder tube container thing.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about. Yes, like, I do.
He was murdered, and like she was kept there for like months or something like that.
Yeah. I know which one you're talking about now. It's going to drive me nuts. Well, and I was like, I kind of wanted like a survival story because we haven't done one of those in a while. But then I found this one and I was like, oh, but it's sad still too. But I mean, it's at least the fact that she survived too, and she was able to give those details to help, you know, get justice for his,
for other people. And I mean,
they were just an adorable little couple too. And you'll see pictures and stuff. And he's a good looking kid. It's just sad.
Yeah. I'm glad that it seems like she, I mean, if she's married and stuff and able to like move forward with her life in that aspect, but I can't imagine how difficult that is.
No.
And I mean, she had it right. That's just, if you're, God forbid, you're ever in a situation like that, the best way to try to help someone, unless you're like in the same area and you can both get out at the same time, but like trying to search for your partner or friend or whoever else, like your best bet is to go out and get help and be able to lead them back. Like,
I agree. And that just like shows like
the Turpin siblings, you know, the one escaped
and saved all of their lives because she was so brave. I know. And I think like there's so many things with this. I was talking to my daughter, because like I said, I always give her a sugar-coated version of what we're talking about. Because sometimes I don't even want to tell her that. I just, I'm like, eh. But I just said, you know, a couple of kids were selling something. And she was like, kids. I'm like, well, okay, kids to me. You know, but I was like, no. But she's like, why didn't they go somewhere where there was more people? And I'm like, ding, ding. You know, like, I think that is a good sign too. Like, I'm sure too, in a small town, you don't ever expect something like that, but it is.
No, especially if you kind of know them and you're like, everyone knows where I'm going to be anyway. Totally. So it's one of those things that like, which is what ultimately got him caught, is because that's just it. Like, it's a small town. People knew where they were going to be.
Right. Right. So I know. I don't know. It's just, it's scary and sad. And that's why it's always important to share your locations on things. And thankfully this was only all in one day's time, because when I first started looking, I was like, oh my gosh, how long was she there? Was she being held? You know, it didn't say, but unfortunately long enough that he was able to assault her several times, and just sickening.
And that's horrible. Yeah. And that's where, you know, I'm sure the ad will be in this too, but the She's Birdie. The Birdie Plus, ma'am. You can share your location immediately with people. And I do. Right. I have that on me all the time now. I have the one that can share my location, can send it to the people with me and stuff like that, you know, that I have as my emergency contacts. And
it's so important. I mean, for those of you that have got them, I know several people that I know have purchased them, and I'm curious to see what you think. And I like take mine with me everywhere. The other night, my garage door wasn't working and it was like night, but I was like, I don't care. I need to fix this. And I don't feel scared where I live by any means, but I took it out there and I'm sitting on my garage floor with it right next to me. And it was just like, I didn't feel fear at all. I thought, okay, this thing is right here. Not that it would fight off an attacker, but it sure as hell would bring attention. And cause that thing is freaking loud, cause we tested it, and
it is.
It's very loud.
I know. It's one of those things, like I've said before, like peace of mind for like, you know, and as the kids get older, they're doing stuff, you know, I'll be getting them and stuff, those, but it's just, I just hate the world we live in. It's so terrifying. It I had is. A client the other day, and she's pregnant with her first child, you know, and we were kind of talking. She's like, I mean, she's like, there's a part of me that's like kind of afraid because it's a scary time to have either a boy or a girl. And I was like, it is. It's difficult, but you do what you can, you know?
Yeah. And what's best for you. And
yeah,
I know. You just have to, I don't know, just trust that every day is going to be okay. Cause otherwise, yep. like what can you, worrying does no good, but
nope, you gotta do your best to teach your children. Yeah.
Yep.
And safety, you know, being, making sure your children know, like, not to keep secrets from you, even if someone tells them to, you know, yes. that kind of stuff to avoid yeah. those sexual predators. And ugh. It is being a parent is terrifying.
It's the hardest
sometimes.
Job ever. I know. And I'm like, cool. It never ends. Like, you know, it's like you worry from the moment your child's born until the day they die or you're dead, you know, because
right.
it's like, if it's not one thing you're worrying about, then it's something else. So,
yeah. And I know even as my kids are adults, I'm still gonna worry and stuff. Cause I'm a natural worrier to begin with.
Same.
So
that's what I'm really good at. My talents include, stressing, being paranoid, worrying, anxiety,
procrastination.
Yeah. That's oh my gosh. You know what? Procrastination. I work way better under pressure. I learned I was very stressed out yesterday trying to finish researching. And somehow I told Cassie, I'm like, I don't know, this is going to happen. And somehow I pulled it all together in a quicker time than I do normally. Like normally I spend more time on a case. And this time I was like, oh, I feel really confident. I got it all done. So
there you go. See, yeah, it's fine. It all works out. And I was like, cause I was like, you know what? We could skip a week. It's fine. I don't think we've missed a week. We've had one that we posted, like it got posted a little later that day, yeah. but I don't think we've actually missed one since we started.
No. And that's why I was like, we can't miss now because then it's going to throw everything off. No, no, it'll happen. And it worked out. So it's fine.
It did.
I just, I don't know. I mean, it was a shorter case, but that's okay. Sometimes you don't need all the extra things, but there wasn't really a ton more information than what I shared. So, I mean, the documentary was good just because I always enjoy seeing the actual people involved in these cases. It's always Same. Interesting to hear from them and just kind of, yeah, observe their body language and stuff. It's interesting.
It is. It is interesting. You know, and kind of hearing other people's experiences and stuff like that. Remember, you guys, we would love to hear your own personal stories, whether it's true crime, paranormal, just something weird, hauntings, yes. whatever. Whatever stories you have for us. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be, who cares if you're not in the heartland? Share your stories with us. We just want to hear. We would love to be able to eventually do like a listener story episode and stuff like that. So email us at heartland.darklandpodcast@gmail.com. Darkland podcast. Again, heartland.darklandpodcast@gmail.com. We're on Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram. You can DM us at any of those places as well. Those are all posted in the show notes. So
send us some of those small town things, because those are the ones that are hard to find for us. And I mean, everyone like had something crazy happen in their town. I mean, there's got
to
be something.
And even if it's like a secondhand story, like it happened to your uncle when he was a kid and you only know some details, like send it to us still. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you're still part of that. Seven degrees of separation, whatever. It's fine.
Yeah. We just want to hear your stories. We want to have other stories. Like if there's other ones we can make a whole episode out of, that's awesome as well. That's all
you know,
I got.
We are working. We'll hopefully have some information soon, but we are working on getting a Patreon set up.
Yes, we are.
So we're just in the process of discussing and finalizing a few things before we do that. So once that's a thing, we'll let you guys know about that, but just wanted to put that out there. That's
do you want to explain to them what a Patreon is? Cause I know my mom would be like, what is that? So here, mom,
I know I've had a few
this
people.
Yeah.
Yep. So Patreon is its own little app kind of thing too, that you can sign up for. I have it for a couple of podcasts I like, where with monthly donations, like we'll have a couple different tiers and you'll get bonus content with it. So like a monthly thing, you get 30 days of being in our Patreon where we're kind of discussing doing like the episode being posted early, ad free. We're trying to look at some other, you know, benefits and perks if you sign up for these Patreon tiers. And so what that does is that helps us generate a little bit of revenue. So this way we can put money back into our podcast. We would love to be able to get things like more stickers and, do more giveaways, especially. We would love to be able to do giveaways. And so having an income coming in allows us to do that. So we can do more fun things with you guys. You know, yeah. we're all about putting back into our podcast. We want to do more for you guys. And that'll just help us do that. So we're working on that. We'll hopefully in the next week or two, get that figured out and kind of set up, and we'll let you guys know, and we'll post that everywhere and stuff too. So yeah, that's what we're looking at right now. You guys, I had a dream that we did like a live episode, and I was like, you know, kind of like how some like people like go to this, like My Favorite Murder and Small Town Murder, and then like do live shows that people can come to and stuff.
I was
like,
that'd be so cool.
That would be so fun. But I would be fun. Like, National Park After Dark has done like a live show, but it's like on the internet.
So oh yeah.
People like don't have to be like there.
Stream it live. Yeah.
And they can have like I did a meet and greet with them. They were such lovely women. Cassie and Danielle are phenomenal. And like that was so much fun. So like people paid for that, and there was like exclusive show merch for if you bought tickets for that, you could only get it that way. So like I would love that's if fun. We were able to do something like that eventually. Yeah. So again, like that's where these types of things, like getting ads, you know, when you buy from our sponsors, it helps us too. So we're just really wanting to give back to you guys. That's where also rating and reviewing wherever you're listening and giving us 5 stars or whatever it is. Really helps us, because if we get up on the charts, then we get more sponsor opportunities, and we just want to be able to like put back into this. Like, this is something we're both very passionate about. We really enjoy yes. doing this, and we would love it if we had the income to be able to focus on this a little bit more and put more into it. So you yeah. guys are helping us with that, and we greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, that's so true. I know my daughter asked if she could have a shirt, and my dad even said he'd wear a hat if I got him one. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, guys, we'll see.
Everyone's so getting
Heartland gifts.
I've been looking into like stuff on how we can like go about like, cause like what are those, like those Teesprings and stuff like that. Like sometimes you can set shops up mm-hmm. and like, it's not like you have to buy a bunch and then like send them out with like a as you go thing. So I'm looking into it. Like I've been kind of looking at that stuff too, because I was like, shirts would be so much fun if yeah. we can get like we got to get our little Dark Heart image if we yeah. can.
Working on
to
that.
Do a few things. So
text that person.
There are so many things we'd like to do, you guys, but you know, financially we gotta wait a little bit. We gotta figure things out. So you guys are helping us out. We love it so much. So yes. Thank you guys.
Yeah, thanks. Dark Hearts.
But until next time, stay Heartland kind.
But Darkland wary.